We're going to start with a prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we always say we are nothing without your Holy Spirit. We implore you, Holy Spirit, to come in every one of our services, to bring new life to this church, to your people. And so may you bless this message, Lord, as we try to speak about you and describe, Lord, in our own limited ability, but may you take over. How can we describe an infinite God such as you, Holy Spirit? But we pray that you will bless this message and bless it into our hearts and take over this service. It's not our service, it's yours, and we're giving it to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So last week we spoke about the qualities and work of the Holy Spirit, because we had a couple of weeks back, the Sunday before Holy Supper, we were speaking about friendship. And we were saying that the best friend anyone could ever have is God. And he comes and indwells us through his Spirit. Last week we were speaking about the qualities and the work of the Holy Spirit, which can be found much of what Jesus said. John chapters 14, 15, and 16 is just chock full of the teachings of Jesus about the Holy Spirit. In other places, John the Baptist spoke about the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul. So we want to study this morning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, as I said before, many of us were baptized many years ago, but what are we today? What have we done about the Holy Spirit? He's nothing less than God. It's not that he's just, say, a helper of God. Yes, he does. He does have a function in helping the kingdom of God, but he is God. What have we done with the Holy Spirit? Each one of us has to ask ourselves that question. And if a person is not yet baptized, I strongly advise, like I said before, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. So this morning I would like to speak about this most phenomenal Spirit, the Spirit of the Almighty God, the third person of the Trinity coming to live inside of you. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For what reason would a person want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What does baptism mean? Baptism means immersion. So if a person is baptized with the Holy Spirit, he or she is immersed or filled with the Holy Spirit. You can picture it this way. You remember, like, there was Lydia, the seller of purple, and if you wanted to dye a garment in that purple dye, you would take the garment, a shirt or whatever, immerse it in that purple dye, it will come out purple. Baptism is immersion. You are immersed in the presence of God. You are immersed in the Holy Spirit. He fills you, and boy, you know when he fills you. How did the early church develop? The Lord used individuals who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Does the baptism of the Holy Spirit represent a level of status in the Pentecostal church? No. Why would a person want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Well, let's read about what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit. In our discussion last week, we spoke about what Jesus taught regarding the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read to John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. You could turn to it if you want. John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. This is Jesus speaking the night before his crucifixion. He knew he was leaving the earth, and he knew it was necessary for him to send the Holy Spirit. And he said, verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Jesus said, "He, the Holy Spirit, dwells with you and shall be in you." There is a difference between the Holy Spirit being with you and being immersed, filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit. But why would a person want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Many reasons. We all need to be comforted at different times in our lives. Sometimes we need comfort from deep sorrow, the loss of someone close to you, breakup in a relationship. Other times, comfort from an emotional hurt. The Holy Spirit is great at comforting and soothing your hurts. Do you want to understand the Word of God better? He is the greatest teacher. How could you get better than the Holy Spirit? No one could teach the Bible like the Holy Spirit because he's the author of the book. He wrote it. John chapter 14, verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The Holy Spirit also stimulates your memory and brings verses or hymns to mind in time of need, and those times come. Were you ever in like a sorrow or having some problem, and all of a sudden some hymn comes from your mind, and it hits the spot, and you say, "Wow, that's just what I needed to hear." The Holy Spirit knows what you need at a specific time. Do you need wisdom? Wisdom in decision making. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 13 and 14. They say, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and informed him of the way of understanding?" Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor?" Who taught God? "Who was ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." The Holy Spirit is your advocate. He gives advice and counsel. I can remember, those of you, Sharon Giaquinto was in Sunday school with me, our teacher, Sister Flora Vincenti, told the story. When they were living in Pennsylvania, her neighbor took her to court. And Sister Vincenti was a saint. Her neighbor took her to court. Back then, there weren't public defenders. I'm talking way back when. Her neighbor had a lawyer. Sister Vincenti didn't. The judge said to the man, "Okay, this is your lawyer, her neighbor." Then she said to Sister Vincenti, "And Mrs. Vincenti, where's your lawyer?" She said, "I can't afford one." She said, "Jesus is my lawyer." She won the case. Is any of us surprised? The Holy Spirit is your best lawyer. He's your best defense. He's your advocate. The Holy Spirit is the wisdom of the ages and an everlasting fountain of wisdom. Would you like to know the Lord much better and experience the reality of Jesus in your life? As I was saying before, we can't just know Jesus from a book. We have to experience the reality of Jesus. As Sister Floor used to say in her prayers, to confess and possess the reality of Jesus Christ. Not just known from a book, to possess the reality that He flow. You're so filled with Him through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He flows out of you wherever you go. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will have a greater knowledge, understanding, and revelation of Jesus and of God the Father. What did Jesus say the night before His crucifixion? John chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it to you." So those verses are telling us the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus and God the Father. Do you want to worship the Lord at a greater and a higher level? Increased worship and adoration of the Lord will happen with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know how important worship is? When the Israelites would go to battle in the Old Testament, you know who went first? Not the Marines, the worshipers. The worshipers went out first. They carried the presence of God. What did the Lord say in Psalm 22, verse 3? "But you are holy, O you who inhabits the praises of men." That's why I say, when we sing our worship, it's not just singing songs, it's worship. We are to worship the Lord. He deserves it. It's very important. There's times I've come here, and I'm not important, but I'm just saying I've come here with stomach aches. You know, I sit at the piano and start doing worship with you people. Stomachache is gone because you're in the presence of God. A stomachache cannot survive the presence of God, and God inhabits worship. That's why I say worship is so important. Increased worship and adoration of the Lord will happen with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We just read John chapter 16, verse 14. "He shall glorify Me." Would you like to evangelize or witness for the Lord more effectively? John chapter 16, verses 26 and 27. "But when He, the Comforter, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of Me, and you also shall bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning." Who could testify or witness of Jesus better than the Holy Spirit? When His Spirit fills us, we can witness of Jesus more effectively. He can fill our mouth with the proper words. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And it's not only your words that witness for the Lord, it's your actions also that witness for Jesus. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, this condition will be evident in your actions also. Do you want power to strive against sin? I think we all need that. As we read, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Do you want someone, or do you want to experience the type of friendship that the Lord offers? Someone we can talk to at any time of day or night. Someone to confide in, tell our secrets. Someone to be there for us when we are feeling lonely or down. Someone who understands you and knows you better than you know yourself. Sometimes you think no one can know you better than you know yourself. Well, God could. He made us. Someone you could lean on. Boy, we all need someone to lean on at times. The Holy Spirit is the best, the closest friend you could ever have, because through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He lives within you. You can't get closer than that. He's a 24/7 best friend. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus referred to the baptism of the Holy Spirit as the promise of my Father. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Jesus told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high. Where did the events of the day of Pentecost occur? In Jerusalem. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is promised to believers, and God never breaks his promises. You could be sure of that. But the believer needs to earnestly pray and seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here goes my favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:13. And you shall seek me and find me when you will search for me with all your heart. John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And what an experience that is. Let's read Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. Acts chapter 2, and 1 to 18. Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 to 18. We're going to read about the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Does that make you jealous? It's making me jealous. And there appeared unto them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. How much we need this. Pray for this right here in Belleville Church. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Jews and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongue speak of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and perplexity, saying one to another, what does this mean? Others mocking and saying, they are full of new wine. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day, which would have been 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Why was this called the day of Pentecost? In the Old Testament, God had developed a feast called the Feast of Harvest, or the Feast of Weeks, that lasted only one day. In the New Testament, which was written in Greek, as we know, this feast was called the Feast of Pentecost. See, the feast that was called the Feast of Harvest, or the Feast of Weeks in the Old Testament, was called the Feast of Pentecost in the New Testament. What does Pentecost mean? In Greek, the word literally means 50, the number 50. This feast, the Feast of Pentecost, occurred 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. During the Feast of Pentecost, Jews from different countries and languages around the world would come to Jerusalem to celebrate the grain harvest. It is not a coincidence that the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues came when people from different countries would be in Jerusalem, who would be able to understand the different languages given by the Holy Spirit. So people came from all different countries to Jerusalem for this day of Pentecost. They came knowing their native language. And just then, God would plan it perfectly, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came with people speaking in tongues. And these people that came to this feast from different countries were able to understand what they were saying. These people heard the disciples and others glorifying the Lord in their native language, a language which the disciples who were speaking and the 120 in that upper room didn't know what they were saying, but the people around them did. They were glorifying God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit always comes with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is God-given evidence that the person has been baptized. Mark chapter 16, verse 17, it states, they shall speak with new tongues. Other references that speaking in tongues is evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit can be found in Acts chapter 19. So evidence, speaking in tongues as evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is found in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 19. What is speaking in tongues and why does this activity occur? When you speak in tongues, you are communicating with God in a language that you don't understand. The reason for this language barrier is so that the Lord can communicate with your spirit without the interference of your mind. The Lord wants to communicate with your spirit without the interference of your mind. How does he do it? He changes your speech to a language that you don't understand. Some Christian faiths do not accept or believe in speaking in tongues. Well, considering that most, if not all of us, have studied one or more foreign languages in school, speaking in tongues shouldn't be odd. We had to study, take exams. The Lord gives us a new language with no studying or no exams. The studying of foreign languages is popular today. Look at Rosetta Stone. They're probably making a fortune just to study a foreign language. So why just speaking in tongues? Why do people think it's odd? Studying of foreign languages is popular today. So why should some Christian faiths think that speaking in a God-given foreign language is odd? The Lord has given specific messages to someone speaking in tongues, and we've heard it over here. I'm waiting for it to come back, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In some cases, when the person is filled with the Holy Spirit, his or her body is shaking, and people look at it like it's odd. Well, okay, let's study this. If a person is shaking when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, this is not odd or out of order. When you consider that the Spirit of the Almighty God is entering in, the Spirit of the Almighty God is entering in the human body. Why is shaking odd? We sing, "How great thou art, how great is our God." We know that God is almighty, mind-boggling, beyond our wildest imagination. Who could contain him? 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27 says, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you." Knowing these attributes of God, why should it seem odd or out of order that a person may shake when the Spirit of God comes in him or her? Some Christian faiths believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was only for the time of the apostles. Well, if they read Joel 2, chapter 28, they shouldn't think that way. Because Joel 2, chapter 28 states that, "In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind." We're in the last days now. And the Lord wants to pour out His Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an undeserved gift. In this baptism, you are not getting the Spirit of some great saint. You're not getting the Spirit of the Archangel Michael or the Spirit of the Angel Gabriel. You're receiving the Spirit of the Almighty God. If that doesn't make us jealous for a refilling of the Holy Spirit or an initial baptism of the Holy Spirit, I don't know what does. Don't you want to be filled or refilled with Him? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the most precious, most awesome, greatest gift a person could ever receive. So we're going to get down to pray now. If someone could